anyone around the Letterkenny area may well be aware that there's a really good comedy scene growing up around the Voodoo Vintage area. Barry Mack and Pádraig Gallagher, Michael Eddy, Andy McGranahan and a number of others doing fantastic work building up this lovely comedy scene. Voodoo Vintage is a great venue for comedy as well, and there have been over the past while a number of work in progress nights. Now what a work in progress is basically when a comedian or an aspiring comedian is working on a full show, they basically play a few smaller low-key gigs just to try and perfect the material, give the material a run, see what works, see what doesn't. And traditionally, they're shows that have a fairly low input in, with the understanding that you're not seeing an absolutely fully polished show. What you're seeing is something that is, as the name suggests, a work in progress. I was once in Cardiff and I ended up in the Goody Hoo coffee bar and I saw Lloyd Langford preview his Edinburgh show to a crowd of about 75 people, and it was one of the best comedy gigs I've been at in a long, 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 long time. It was really fantastic. And tonight, there are two comedians previewing shows at the Voodoo Vintage. It starts at 6 o'clock this evening in Vintage, and the admission is a pricely €3, which is about three quarters of a pint when you look at it that way. And there are two people performing shows. One is myself and the other is Mary Flanagan, who now joins us on the line. Mary, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Donal. How are you?
I'm very well indeed, thank you. Mary, you are previewing, and you're way braver than I am, because I'm just doing a show based on some ruminations and thoughts I've had. What you are effectively previewing is an Edinburgh show.
Yes, I'm going to Edinburgh for 10 days at the end of August, and I'm going to be doing almost a full hour in Edinburgh, and Barry reached out, kind of put the word out online a wee bit earlier in the year, saying if anybody was going up to Edinburgh to get in touch with him, and he would kind of set up these work-in-progress shows, which, as you were saying, are so valuable. And a lot of times actually more fun, because I think, like, with a work-in-progress show, you can take more risks. And you can kind of, because the material is maybe like, you're still kind of working out the funniest bits, you're willing to kind of stretch with it and play with it a bit more. And that can be like just, it can be really, really fun, I think, for both the audience and the comedian. It can be a bit, it's a bit freer sometimes than I think the full show.
In terms of playing Edinburgh, and we've heard horror stories in the past of comedians going to Edinburgh, doing a show during the Fringe and losing shed loads of money because they didn't get the crowds, because the reality of Edinburgh is there's about 3,000 acts and about 30 days, and everyone is competing. And even if someone goes to six shows a night, they're only going to get to about 10, 15% of what's actually available overall.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what sort of risk are you taking going to Edinburgh?
I think the main risk is that I'm taking about 10 days off work. I guess the thing, like, I've done Edinburgh a couple of times before, the full month once with a play, a week once with a sketch show. And what's I find really freeing about this year, just in terms of planning, in terms of money, is that I'm with the Free Fringe. And the Free Fringe is, there's a couple of different companies put on Free Fringe shows, and basically what it is there's no tickets. You just put what you want in a bucket at the end of the show. And actually, that makes it a lot easier for comedians. You know, there'll be people listening to this for Mary Flanagan. I don't know who she is. Why would I pay a fiver to see her? Yeah, but you might come in, sit down, and if I make it up, you might throw a couple of quid into the bucket at the end of the show, and that's enough for me at this stage to make it worth it. Because, you know, I'm not going up to Edinburgh to try and make shed loads, and I'm kind of prepared for it to be sort of running at a loss. You go up to Edinburgh to try and, like, hone your craft, to be in that atmosphere where there are, as you said, like, thousands of shows where you can, if you time your day properly, be seeing a comedy show every hour, you know? And just to be in that atmosphere and to be working with a really comedy-literate audience, to be around so many fantastic artists, to be exposed to many different kinds of comedy. It's just going to be, I'm just so excited to go. And I'm excited to hone the stuff and see how it works out whenever I'm up in Edinburgh.
It seems to me that there are two types of comedians. There are people like myself, and I will be bluntly honest, I do a couple of stand-up shows a year for fun. It's some men, when they hit their 50s, they express their midlife crisis by buying sports cars, by having affairs. I express mine by taking up stand-up comedy and ukulele. Not, I hasten to add, at the same time, people would be relieved to hear. But they're the two things. So I reckon stand-up comedy and ukulele would be a lot cheaper than sports cars and a lot less risky than having an affair. There are other people, and the one that really sort of grabs me is Alison Spittle, who works out of Dublin. I saw Alison do a show in the same venue we're in tonight, Voodoo Vintage. It was the Revelry. Mm. It was a sort of a cabaret run by a group of wonderful people, Andrew and Taran and others. And Alison took a bus from Dublin to Letterkenny, did, mm-hmm. I think, 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then there is a bus leaves Letterkenny at 2 o'clock in the morning for Dublin to get people down to Dublin Airport for sort of flights at 7 and 8 o'clock. So Alison mm-hmm. gets a bus from Dublin to Letterkenny, 4 hours give or take, does a 20-minute show, hangs around for 2 hours, then takes a bus back to Dublin to arrive in Dublin, get to bed at 7:30 or so for a bit, and then get up and go about her day on Saturday. And I thought, you know, to do that, in order to be able to play in Letterkenny to maybe 80, 90 people, I just thought the level of dedication that takes is staggering. And I sometimes think people that work the comedy circuit don't get the respect they deserve, because the actual effort, I mean, I know Porrick, who's a good friend of mine, regularly will drive to Galway, will drive to Drogheda, will drive to Dundalk, will drive to Belfast, do a show and drive home and then go to work the next day.
Yeah.
I mean, it is staggering, the effort people like you were putting in.
Well, I don't know if it's a case of sort of effort and artistic dedication as much as it is an overwhelming need for attention. That's certainly what it is for me. You know, I'll drive 4 hours to Letterkenny if I can be guaranteed that 18 or 19 people are going to be looking at me for 10 minutes and only me. So, you know, it kind of works out for us. Because I've done that drive up to Letterkenny, done 10 minutes with another comedian from Belfast and driven back. But it's just, you know, I think that if I start to look logically at the things that I've done in order to get a 10-minute spot, a 15-minute spot, driven like from Belfast to Leitrim and back in the one night, Donegal up and down, buses back from Dublin at 2 in the morning, getting and doing work things the next day, and you know, no, these are the actions of an obsessive, insane person. But, you know, I think as long as we know that, maybe it's fine. As long as we're aware that these are the actions of an insane person, then it's fine.
Let's talk about your show. Okay. You are exploring your, shall we be, we'll be charitable and say your interest in astrology. Mm. Now, yeah. The phrase Barry uses is unwilling obsession, which possibly came from yourself originally. this is your interest, shall we say, in astrology, and it's weaving its way through your experience over the years with astrology. It's an interesting subject.
It is. I think what I found interesting was realizing that if I was faced with any magazine or a newspaper, the first thing I would be doing would be to flick to the horoscopes page. And if you'd asked me, you know, Mary, like, do you believe in horoscopes? Do you believe that the time that you're born of the year influences your personality, that can be used to predict what you do day to day? I would go, shush. We don't need to ask those questions. But also, like, I didn't believe in it, and I don't really believe in it, but I also can't stop reading them, is the thing. And I think that nearly everybody will have, like, there's this compulsion to check. The most logical people will have a flick through and check what Virgo is meant to be doing today, if there's any advice for Cancer. And I just think that's kind of, that gets at something quite like weird and true about how, you know, that we're just kind of superstitious people. Sorry, I just got a WhatsApp in the middle of that. For me, I kind of use Pisces and astrology as a springboard to talk about a bunch of different things, because I don't want, like, you know, I started off kind of thinking like it'll be all about this theme of horoscopes, and then I kind of thought, well, you know, I don't need to get too bogged down in a theme. I don't need to explore the deepest nature of humanity within a 50-minute show. I'll do some bits about astrology and just using that as a springboard to talk about other stuff, to talk about my family relationships, being single now, as in like now it's in the 21st century, and just kind of a bunch of different things. Like, I've always felt quite, I like reading the description of Pisces because it's so complimentary. It's always like, you know, you're so creative, Pisces. You're so, like, empathetic and ethereal. And I go, yeah, God, I am that. I am that. And then I realize that I'm a sweaty, uncreative mess. It's a constant tension, basically. I'm kind of interested in exploring that horoscopes give you easy answers. In a world that's feeling increasingly scary, horoscopes can be a bit, can be comforting. And also just talking about silly stuff, I guess. Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to that show. Actually, I'll be doing something as well at the show tonight, and I'll be speaking about what it's like being raised in the southeast and then moving to the northwest, and how someone who's had their youth in Waterford suddenly finds it living in Donegal in terms of the concepts and the words and the various things that different things mean. And
cool.
That's what I'm. So as I say, I'll be reflecting on culture, identity, and all the usual stuff that middle-aged, middle-class men mistake for real life. And it's going to be done now. The way I'm characterizing this, as we said, it's Voodoo Vintage tonight at it's 6 p.m. It's €3 win. So I reckon, given that you're an Edinburgh veteran and that you're, I reckon you're worth about €2.72, and I'll be the other 28 cent.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so you'll get €2.72 worth of comedy from Mary, and you'll get 28 cent worth from me. And I think when it comes to that, everyone's a winner. Mary, really looking forward to seeing you tonight and to the show.
Yeah, have a great show.
Right? Oh, yeah, and you too. And we will see you tonight in Voodoo at 6.